Okay, welcome everybody. First, let's go around and introduce everyone so we know who everyone is.
Neely.
Neely what?
Char.
Char?
Yeah.
From where?
Tina.
Tina.
I'm Nina Weinberg from Tina.
But you're Nina?
Weinberg.
Oh,
I'm Allison.
Allison. Okay.
Rabbi
Jonathan Schaffner. Okay, yes, he follows next door.
I'm Alana Knoll from Vienna.
I'm Kayla
Seidel
from
Vienna.
Kayla?
Seidel.
Shalom Lafwitz from Heidelberg.
Oh, at least not everyone's from Vienna.
I'm Manny Nagel from Vienna.
Nagel. Nagel Bagels. Is your family?
No, not my family.
Okay. Okay, nice to meet you all. Okay, Rabbi Jaffe, we go back a long time. And you know who this is? Jesse Silverman, you know his mother, teaches in the school. Okay, so tell me how are we working.
I want to thank Rabbi for doing this very fond memories. These matters, this room in particular, Rabbi Wald and I were in Shir in this room in 1996 for Kiddushin, Rabbi Simon.
Yeah, the base matters over there, Rabbi Wald, yes. So, 1996, wow.
I think that was Rabbi's first year giving the college here.
No. What? Yeah. It was the first year that they sent me to this base matters. Yeah.
So over the years, Rebbe's been very helpful in terms of just professional, personal guidance. But one thing I remember from this year, it was never a lecture. It wasn't about lecturing talmudic jurisprudence, about just giving off many ideas. It was one to cultivate our ability to think. I remember following one time questions asked, and I heard the question, so I looked in there, and I started raising my hand and saying, the Raivan says this. Rebbe Simon stopped and said, I don't want to hear what the Raivan has to say. I want to say what you have to say. Those ideas, those memories of this year stuck with me over the years. So that's why we're here today, to prepare the sugya and to share what your thoughts are about it. Just, I was familiar with quickly to say what the background is. A case where the kid was being bullied, and in order to find out who was bullying him, who was stealing the sandwich every day, he put the poison in the sandwich, and then they discovered him, who was abusing him, who was bullying him. And the question was raised to Zilberstein, is it allowed to do such a thing? Poison your own sandwich to find out who's bullying you. So Silverstein's psak was, as we all know, not only are you allowed to, it's a mitzvah, halikhein l'rosh l'mavis. So we prepared this sugya and thought whether maybe it was a good proof, it was not a good proof, and now we'll just open it up to who would like to start with discussing their conclusions on this.
Okay. So is it two groups here? How does it work here?
Yeah, you might want to split up.
So maybe you should split up into your groups. What grade is this?
Mostly 10th grade. Allison is... You're the only 11th grader?
Yeah.
Okay, one 11th grader.
Stop by. These are the first two?
This is the first.
Yeah. One of those. Zach Rolfe.
Sure.
This is
one of our pride.
This Shabbos, I'm actually taking a stop to Baltimore. He's coming in.
Oh, okay.
Well, after when I'm in, Rebbe, I'll tell you. But lovely. Yeah, perfect.
You want him to stay around?
Rebbe is going to speak to the students.
The presenter of findings, Rebbe is going to.
Oh, very beautiful. Oh, wow. Because he did one of your research projects.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember. He used to have one of the
Lovely. So, who are the two groups here? Where's the. Where is the divide? Where? Which is the first group? Is so where? Till where? You five?
Yeah.
Okay. So this way we okay. Okay. So Rabbi Jaffe, how should we do it? Should we have?
So, which is the group that agreed with Psak? Maybe we'll start with the...
We'll
share your thoughts about it.
Okay. Okay, so who's up first?
So we looked at it as the book is going into the victim's private property to steal the lunch. So he's trespassing and he's violating the victim's right to privacy. But then we found the point that the victim, by putting the poison in the sandwich, he's causing the bully to have pain and damage, because once he eats the sandwich, he's in pain on the floor. So we think, like, maybe the victim shouldn't be doing that. You're not supposed to cause pain to other people. You're not supposed to stand by while the Jew is in danger. But then we looked more closely at the case itself, and we saw that shortly after the bully ate the sandwich, the victim administered an antidote, and so he didn't really suffer much. So he never violated Lo Tamoto Damriyata, because as soon as he saw the bully suffering, he stopped the suffering. And additionally, Rob Zilberstein brings down that if he's a repeat offender, if he's a repeat sinner, then we don't have to have mercy on him, and this doesn't, and the idea of Lo Tamoto Damriyata doesn't even apply, since by stealing, he's taking the risk of a bad consequence coming from it. And then, the idea of...
We also said that since the bully is a repeat offender, that since he's continuously taking the sandwich from the other kid, that he should assume that at some point that this kid is going to retaliate, and he's going to say that this is enough, and you can't keep stealing my sandwich. So it's kind of his fault that he thinks that he can keep getting away with it.
Also, even if it was the first time he was doing this, because let's say it was multiple people, or it was just the first time he was doing it, it's still, there's the concept of the psychological trauma he's causing the victim, so that would qualify him as a Russia, and therefore, you're not obligated to go down with another
Okay.
Yeah, so because it's the victim's first multiple property, it's in power to do whatever he wants to it. And all of the antidote was ultimately to, like, save the bully, so nothing so horrible or substantial will happen afterwards. So it's just a form of, like, self-defense and not anything that's more severe than that.
Okay. In other words, there's no question that what the person did was not proper, not more than just not proper, but it was, used the word vicious. It was vicious. The person was stealing somebody's property. And so there's no question that, you know, that was a horrible, horrible thing. The question is, are you allowed to become vase, do something to harm him, or do you have to do it in a way like have a camera in the room or something like that to catch him that way, or are you allowed to actually be mazik him? Now, there was also another case in Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein. Did you saw about the thief who was coming in through the window and he made the thing that it could fall if he goes on the platform or whatever it is. By the way, did you read it in the Hebrew? You should know the Hebrew of that case. It was a very good Hebrew. You know, I was impressed. You know, you really have to know Hebrew well to read that paragraph. And it's good. You know, it's good to know Hebrew well. I went to Yeshiva Flatbush through ninth grade. So Baruch Hashem, I learned Hebrew. Unfortunately, today people go through the day school system and they don't know Hebrew. But that's a side comment. But the Hebrew was very, it was an advanced, good Hebrew. Okay, so you all presented well, so should we hear the other side, and then we can talk more.
So they're saying that Wilson will have a reckless doesn't apply, but really it doesn't apply because it usually doesn't apply. not doing something so bad that's disturbing. Oh, it's okay, you could let him die. You really shouldn't let him die.
Right. I mean, the question, also is what would have been if they didn't, give him the thing to remedy the sickness? Right, would he... No, but in other words, we'll say it didn't work. Say it didn't work. He's taking a risk, yeah. So let's... Yeah, okay, let's see. Yeah, go on.
Rob Silverstein
holds
that day.
Who is Rob Silverstein, by the way? You know who he is?
No.
That's
the rabbi.
Yeah.
He's one of the out there.
Is he?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Maybe
yeah, probably a different one. Rob Silverstein was married to Rav Yashiv. You heard of Rav Yashiv?
Yeah.
Rav Yashiv was a big posek in Eretz Yisrael. It was his son-in-law. It was the son-in-law of Yitzchak Zilberstein. And unfortunately, Rav Yashiv's daughter passed away. And Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein remarried. And he remarried a doctor. His second wife was a doctor. That's what Rav Shechter pointed out, because that's why he got involved in all the medical questions. Because his second wife, as Rav Shechter pointed out, was a doctor. So he's written extensively on... medical questions and things like that.
Okay. Well, he holds that the situation, it was okay that the bully was poisoned, but the bully should at least have been warned before he was administered the poison. Like even though the bully was a repeat offender, first of all, we felt it was the same person. Second of all, he was issued no warning, and also no one knew who the bully was except for the victim. Like, no one knew that the victim was even being bullied. So the bully was poisoned without anyone even, and like punished without anyone else knowing what he was doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, he was given his own, the bullet, victim decides his own way of assuming justice on the bully without knowing any of the details of the case. You know who the bully is. And he also doesn't, he's unaware of a lot of the facts of the case, and he decides to essentially be his own baby and decide that he gets the right to kill this person and take matters in his own hands, without, any justification for his actions, in terms of what he can do. And anyone who has a minor transgression against them can take their matters into their own hands and be able to do it, to kill someone.
I was going to say that the person who got bullied might want to justify their action by saying, they just wanted to find out who was in their sandwich so they could prevent it. But they did it in a way that they were trying that they would embarrass the bully, the person who was doing it. And that, according to Talama, is bad, it's saying you're telling us. He could have done it in a way where he wouldn't embarrass the bully publicly. He was poisoned and he had to take an antidote. Everybody saw that. He could have set up a camera and went over and tied it. So he sort of wanted to take his own vengeance by embarrassing the bully while he was doing that.
So
Rev. Silverstein
also uses Gemara that talked about the issue of who invited the guest into his home. I'm sure if the guest would steal from him or if he would just be a normal guest. And so when the guest goes up to the attic for the turn in for the night, Rabbi Yeshua removes the ladder to get down. So that way when the guest would come down, he fell and broke his neck because he didn't look or go. So he uses that as proof that, yes, you can do that if you suspect that someone, that you can, potentially put someone in harm's way.
Yeah, well, there, what was happening?
But the problem with that case is that the Rav Yeshua actually removed the ladder, so that way
but somebody came in, he removed the lattice.
And so he moved it so that way the people realized that Rav Yeshua was suspecting him and almost warning him,
of what would happen, like the warning is that, like, I know that you were speaking. So in our case, that's different because our bully wasn't expecting the sandwich to be poisoned because it hadn't yet been.
You see that there's a ladder. And now the warning says, oh, I shouldn't go down here and go about the beef. Let me just say that I'll return with it, right?
Well, when the Ganav came there, what did he see?
He just saw. I guess our case is different because he didn't know that anything bad was going to happen.
So we're saying, but in the case with the ladder.
Well, the case of the ladder was that he exited the attic without looking and without looking and not realizing that the ladder wasn't there.
Right, but he could have looked.
Yeah, he could have looked.
If the Ganav would have looked, he would have realized that there was no ladder and he wouldn't have been hurt, but it's kind of his own fault that he was hurt because he wasn't paying attention.
Then our case, that's what Ross did. He did it. The bully didn't. He wasn't paying attention, he didn't suspect him.
If you align the two cases, like taking a sandwich would align with Theo being a Ganav and Theo coming from the house, so then eating the sandwich would be looking down and seeing if they're. Like, you
could have
put, like, a sticky or the sandwich
thing
near a TV stop. Or just, like, not, like, put
in,
like,
an empty tin foil. Yeah. Did you do the Gemara in Bava Kama about the person stealing the fruit from the field? Huh. Did you?
Yeah,
so what was the case? Let's go over that case. What was that case in Bava Kama? Does anyone want to say over what that case was? There was somebody stealing and the mice didn't. The Orla, the Shelly Taylor, Rosh of Yomos. Meaning what? In other words, somebody was stealing from somebody's property. Right, so the question is, so he's stealing my fruit. Now, do I have to let him know that it's not kosher what he's taking? What do I say? He's stealing, so he has no right to steal. Say I had some non-kosher meat in my house because I have a neighbor that I wanted to buy food for him and he needed me to pick up the food. So, and somebody comes and steals it, and they're going to eat it. So do I have to tell them that it's non-kosher, or do I say, let him burn in where, you know, whatever, because, you know, he came into my house and stole, so I have to make sure that he doesn't violate the Hilchos of Kashrus, right? So that was the discussion of the Gemara. Do we say, he's a Rasha, so he had no business of coming into my house, so I don't have to tell him that the food is trafe, or if it's a question of Trumas and Maestros, I don't have to take off Trumas and Maestros, so then when he'll eat the food, he'll be eating kosher, because why should I look after him? Why should I look after him? He had no right to come in, so therefore I don't have to worry about him that he's eating treif. Well, let me treif. He deserves to eat treif. Right? That's the concept of Halitei L'Rasha V'Yamos.
So he said that for the sandwich also, that it's essentially the God's fault because he didn't have to come and steal the sandwich. That if the kid poisoned the sandwich, or even if he didn't poison the sandwich, but if the Ganav didn't steal it, then he wouldn't have gone here, nothing would have happened to him. So it's really his fault that he's coming in. It's like the sandwich is the kid's property. So if he's coming onto his property and taking his stuff in the.
So yours. So what I have to worry about it, just like the case in the Gemara.
Yeah.
And what's the counter argument?
There's one thing, like, I think there's a...
What's your name again?
Manny. I think there's a very, like, different aspect to the case that you were referring to. There's one thing if, like, oh, I know that I have, like, non-kosher food in my field, and then somebody comes and take it. I didn't know they were going to come and take it. But he knew that the thief was going to come and take his sandwich. He was sort of... And he placed the poison on himself on purpose in order to poison him. So
I think that's
on purpose as opposed to, like, oh, I don't need to tell him, I didn't know he was going to come and stop my fault. But this is sort of directly his fault. He was sort of setting him up to get poisoned.
Okay.
Like, building off what Manny said, another piece of this is that he put poison in his sandwich, so even if the building couldn't take it, he couldn't eat it himself either. So, like, he knew. So, like, it's like really purposefully. Like, it's not, oh, maybe someone takes it, it's not my fault. He knew that someone was going to take it.
Well, he was suspecting that they would call. So there's a lot. Which side are you on? Aren't you supposed to be on the other side?
Yeah, I probably should be on the other side.
Yeah.
How did you hear? So it's different case because, but he's a borderline. It's fair to give a warning there. So it's like, oh, you should know it's not even kosher. But when it comes to the bully, giving the bully the sign, from a psychological perspective, if you wrote, they brought in the sheer awesome. If it was like by a bank vault, there was a thing of poison and candy, and you wrote like warning poison, most likely the thief is going to say, oh, they're just trying to deter me, and for psychology, I'm just going to eat it. And there's nothing wrong with it. So if they were like toxic on the paper bag and you put the sandwich in, and then the bully's not, it's not even like the bully's dinner. Not that, that's not going to deter the bully from. The sign is completely infected.
Mm-hmm.
You were going to say that it's okay that he poisoned the sandwich because he only had like a slight suspicion that he would come and he wasn't quite sure. You could also say that he might have like, it was more than just a suspicion since he could almost make up a chazakah. If not, only the second time or the first time he's doing it, it happened multiple times, like a lot more degrees. So can he make a high assumption that he was going to come and take it?
Right. In other words, we saw in the packet here there was a concept of grumma. In other words, the halacha is if you kill somebody directly or you hurt somebody directly, then you have to pay and you're responsible. But if you don't do it directly, say you just poison someone's food, and then it's different when you take a knife and you kill somebody or you just poison someone's food and they drink it. So either case, as Rav Shachter pointed out, the Rambam says you're a rotzeach, either case. Because for one case is called grumma. Grumma means indirect action. And one case is maisa b'yadayim. But so when you poison someone's food, you're a grumma. But grumma is still, as Rav Shachter pointed out, is still usser. You're not allowed to do something to somebody. You're not allowed to damage something with, you might not have to pay for it, but still it's prohibited to do an action even indirectly. If you actually do it directly, then you get punished in Bezdin or whatever it is when there was a Bezdin. So the question at hand is that here he was poisoning someone's food. So basically, if somebody ultimately will eat that food, and if they'll die, then he'll be a rotzeach. Now, a simple pshat that you can't kill somebody, that's a question. Could you kill somebody to save your sandwich? If somebody else is trying to kill someone else, so that's a concept of rodef, so then you can kill him to stop the... But to kill somebody from stopping to steal someone's sandwich, even though that's obnoxious and it's terrible and, on many levels, but that doesn't give you a right to be a rotzeach, to save someone from bullying. Because bullying is not the same thing as a rodef. I mean, he's an obnoxious person. So an obnoxious person is not the same as a murderer. Right? We're a potential murderer. So a potential murderer, he's going after you, he's rodef, so then you could kill him to save your own life, or maybe someone else could kill him to save a life. But here, it's a question of being a rodef when it's not to save someone's life. okay, the guy's losing his sandwich every day, which is not a good thing, and obviously there has to be a way that we find out who it is, and there could be other ways. The school could put in cameras and things like that. In my building, the cameras, just recently people were stealing boxes. People get deliveries and they put boxes by the door. Somebody was stealing the boxes. So somebody is spotted. But the super has a camera. He sees everything that, they stole our Cheerios. What a terrible thing. They stole our Cheerios. But I'm not going to poison the Cheerios to find out who the guy who stole my Cheerios is, even though, I like Cheerios, but,
I think there is a verse that says that embarrassment is like that. I don't know philosophically how that works. But for someone that's being embarrassed and being bullied, they still feel it's not, for them, it's not, it could be just that like it's physical, it's like they're being physically harmed. So this victim, just because to other people that are looking at it, it might be just a sandwich, but to him, every day, and it might not be.
Yeah, there's a lot of emotional anguish, and there's a lot of, bad things, but it's still not the same. Even though you advise somebody, you're like shofer damim, but some hold that that's not literally, shofech damim. But and also the case of Bava Kamma is that according to one opinion, I don't have a chiyuv to tell this ganav that the food that you stole just now is treif, and therefore I could say, he's stealing, so let him eat it. Let him, go to whatever, But there, because I'm a sheikh v'altaser, I'm not doing an active. So then I could say, the pasuk says how he tailed the rush of the yomos, let him die. It doesn't mean let him physically die. That he just let him violate an aveira. But here it's literally to die, And it's true, you say they could take something to reverse it, but the question is, are you allowed to kill somebody, or are you allowed to hurt somebody, and the only way he'll stay alive is if you do something to reverse it, because maybe the reversal won't work, and maybe, and then you ended up killing him. So to do act bekumvase, to go ahead and hurt somebody, which potentially could even kill him, I don't think it is permissible, even in the case of the bully. Even though you're right, in other words, this could be very traumatic for the bully, for the victim, and etc. But I don't think it's a din of a rodef, where he's a mamish rodef him. And especially, even by rodef, there are halachas that if you can lame him and not kill him, you could shoot him in the leg. Then there are opinions that say you have to shoot him in the leg, you can't kill him. So here also, there could be other methods to, instead of poisoning his sandwich, you could just put the security system's all over today. Everywhere you walk, there's security, pictures being taken of every place where you walk. So that could have been, so therefore, who says that you had a right to even do physical harm to him when you could have done it through a camera?
It's not necessarily true that you can have help from the administration of the school or anything. In the road, if you have the opportunity to shoot him in the leg, you can, but if that's going to put you more at risk because you're making it harder for yourself, then you don't have to. So here, if he tries to go to the principal or whatever, and you know he's doing it, he doesn't have the money to install cameras himself. This is the only way he can go about it. Maybe.
Right, you're saying that if no one
believes him or something.
No one believes him, and no one's gonna. What?
It's what that is the only means.
That's the only means. So there's no one's helping him. Okay, no one's helping him. I still think that it could be if he does it in a way that Vaday will not cause the person to die. Will just cause him to, say, vomit or something like that. In other words, even if you didn't have the reversal, you know, antidote, you know, that maybe there's what to say for that. But if you know, that is a question of just embarrassing him, you know, which maybe, you know, one could say that, you know, what to think about. Maybe that would warrant, and, you know, in such a case. But so, you know, I'm not saying for sure, but that's what to think about. But in a case where he potentially could get Mamish killed, then I don't think there's any heter for that. Even if you could undo it, because who says, you know, anything you have to undo, you know, who says the potency will work, and who says it will undo it, and maybe it won't undo it, and etc. Yeah.
I don't think his goal was just to stop the blame. I think he was also to
The question is, even if it was the only option, I'm still not sure it would be permissible if there would be a sakana that he could get killed. I don't know the reality of the case. What if he wouldn't give him that thing? Would he have died? I don't know.
What if
Paul
was
100%
sure the antidote
would work? He can never, right? I don't know if he could ever be 100% sure. And it's more than just physical harm, it's mamish potential life and death.
It will be the case if the person is getting mugged and taking back a wallet. He wants to fight back. He wants to fight back, then he's only giving up his wallet. Is the person obligated, if they could somehow win a fight to get back their wallet, are they obligated to relinquish their wallet or not to harm the burglar, the mugger, more than necessary?
He could fight to get it back.
If the violence escalated, the mugger, and the fist fight gets so serious, he ends up killing a person to keep his own wallet.
Well, it depends. If the violence escalated and therefore it came to a point that his life is threatened,
it elevates the road. Is he obligated to stop the fight before it escalates? Then the spell, like, he can drop the wall, the people take it and run away. Does he have to be allowed to continue the fight potentially escalate in case of a rodeo?
That's a good question. It's hard to know exactly what the point is, you know what I mean? Right, Rama Machter is going to be potential life and death.
So how do you know? Meaning they were like, we just assume so it's going to be life and death.
Right, because somebody doing that will know that the guy will, you know, stand up against him, and then he'll have to, you know, read the script 10 lines forward. That's going to what's going to happen.
Well, we're also saying that
we're saying that it's not such a big deal that he's stealing the sandwich, that he's just a sandwich. But we don't really know that to this kid, it could be his only meal of the day, or it could be an extreme situation for him that he feels that he needs to do this because this is his only source of meat of food, or it could be life or death for him.
I don't think it's really life or death for him because, he'll eat when he gets home. He'll eat. I mean, yeah. I mean, if it would be in that case, then there would maybe would be what to talk about if it would be life or death for him. But it's hard to believe that. The impression was more than life and death. It was just, the guy was being obnoxious to him, and very obnoxious to him, so he deserves to be reprimanded. He deserves a lot of things, but I don't think he deserves to get killed.
Let's say, there was a kid, and he had, a peanut butter sandwich, and it was just, a regular school year for, allergy rules, and then another kid came and stole a sandwich, and he was allergic to peanut butter, and he had, whatever, now, and had a scholastic reaction, and he died. Then you'd say, of course, it's the bully's fault, because he took the food without asking. But if it's, a nut-free school where you're not allowed to have peanut butter, and then the kid steals on the sandwich, but it has peanut butter in it, you would say that it's the kid who had the sandwich's fault. So in that case, it's sort of similar to this, because no one should have poison in the school. You shouldn't be allowed to have ever. So the fact that you have it in your sandwich, it could be a liability for anyone. It could harm anyone, even the police. We shouldn't have had it in the first place.
Right, that's true.
The difference between that case and this is that I'm not having nuts in an upstate school. It could be airborne. So multiple people could get hurt. But also, it doesn't really matter, what if the person died, he didn't. It's part of the case that he didn't die in that, the antidote worked. So, and also his intention was to give the antidote. So, anything could happen, but this is what happened, so now, that would be the case.
Does that
mean
that the outcome changed? Meaning, can you say that he was allowed to in the first place, but if the person died then retroactively, he wasn't allowed to?
No, so probably not. Probably.
I feel like it is either you're allowed to in the first place or you're not.
Right.
So whether the outcome of the bully dying or not.
Right, but if potentially he could die, whether he died or not, yeah. Right, that's what I'm saying, should be irrelevant. If potentially he could have died, then he can't do it. Okay. I want to thank everyone for coming. I think you all did a great job. And I think what's very important, I think, like Rabbi Jaffe said before, is, that you should use your own brains and think things through and discuss things, and that's what gives you, that's what will make you understand things better, that's what will make you mature adults. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you your own mind, and that's very important. Some people in yeshiva, they're just good at taking notes. So they'll become maybe a stenographer one day. But that's not what, brings you to a higher level, intellectually, and a higher level between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to, obviously, you have to understand what the Torah wants of us and what the things. But it's important to think things through, and if you don't understand, to discuss, and it's not about just, brain freeze and just taking notes and this, but it's learning is a process, and learning is an interactive. The whole Talmud, the whole Gemara is one big conversation, back and forth, etc. So I think this is a good exercise in that endeavor. So you should continue to, learning from your mentors and learning amongst them yourselves, and you should grow to be people of what you should grow to be able to use your potential to the highest, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave each and every one of you.
All right, thank you very much, Rabbi.
Okay. All right. Thanks, everybody. Nice to meet you. Come back another time. Always welcome.